You know, as much as I love Kamen Rider, and I do love me some Kamen Rider, I will never get used to that kind of narrative flip flash as long as I live. Oh, come on, why is Yuki still in the end credits? He just died, and you're going to show him dancing like nothing happened? Jeez. Can't believe I'm saying this, but I'm bored. I wonder what the others are up to. Speak of the devil. Hey, guys, what's up?
Yo.
What's up, Ryan?
Morning, sleepyhead. It's only, what, 1 p.m. now?
Wait, what? That can't be right. I'm usually up no later than 9 on the weekends.
No, whatever it was you were up to all night doing, it was enough to practically put you into a coma, my dude. We made breakfast and kept shaking you, inviting you to go out to grab barbecue supplies for tonight. But you just kept murmuring on about how the attacks are never gonna stop your sleep or something.
Yeah, and to be perfectly honest, it was really starting to freak us out. So we just kind of left you there.
You know, somehow I'm not as upset by that as I feel like I should be. Also, sorry, I didn't mean to worry you guys with my sleep talk. I was working late last night on a new tracking device component for a satellite we're launching soon. I guess I had prior events on my mind or something. Wait, how long were you guys gone anyways?
I don't know. 3-4 hours tops. You must have really needed your beauty sleep, sir, worries a lot.
I mean, after all we've been through, as many precautions as we've initiated, can you really blame me?
Well, in any case, I mean, I know we're always on guard for any kind of attack, but we've been pretty lucky so far this season. So whatever you've been working on must be working properly. I mean, it does seem like some of the threats we've had to face kind of went away.
Mike, don't jinx it, man. All right, so let's see here. Looks like today we're reviewing...
What the hell was that?
Everyone okay? Sasha, status report. Brian, survey the area for damages. Mike, we need to make sure this isn't some kind of multi-dimensional thing occurring through all the threads of reality at once. Hail Alt Sasha, ASAP.
To think that this used to be where I'd say to cut back on the sci-fi. I'm on it.
Sasha, you got anything yet?
Whatever it is, our beacons aren't picking up anything out of the ordinary. And there's seemingly nothing weird that we would have been looking out for. But further analysis out of our readout shows that there's nothing there, even though something was. Like, it just came out of thin air.
Guys? Should the walls and the furniture and the, well, everything be in black and white instead of color?
What? Oh, God, now not again with the color crap. Yeah, everything over here is looking like a silent film, too. Something heavy damage in multiple corridors, energy and water cut off to those areas. Whatever that explosion was, it wasn't just someone firing off the surplus 4th of July stash. Ben, I'm going to need you to send me some schematics from your console.
Copy that. Just one set. What's this? Error, Ranger, color, not recognize. What? I'm locked out of my station because it's not recognizing my Ranger color?
What the? Me too. I can't even log in to check my Facebook and see if anyone else is reporting this. What in Kirby's name is going on here?
Son of a... Yep, I got logged out too. Only heard a snippet of what alternate Sasha had to say before the connection terminated. Brian, who designed these control panels?
I did.
Okay, let me ask you another question. Why in the hell did you decide that something as critical as a mission control panel should be locked and unlocked using a Ranger color?
Okay, look, to be fair, I did not expect us to keep changing colors like this every season. Aside from Sasha, I've had to reprogram our control panels every single time we focus on a new season because for some reason, we have to keep changing the Roy G. Biv pecking order around here.
Here's what I don't get. You kept the color functionality even after all the color shenanigans that we've been through. After everything was turned blue or pink. Pink, Brian!
I mean, and not just after the first time did you not think to do that, but it's also happened a second time, too. Now, we're on our third installment of our color shenanigan misadventures, and we can't access life-saving computer programs because you didn't feel like changing it?
Whoa, 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 hold on. First off, is that really what we're calling it now? color shenanigans.
Don't look at me. Sasha coined the phrase.
Look, this has nothing to do with me feeling like changing it or not. Do you have any idea the amount of money it would cost to change out the software, let alone the hardware?
And to see how our Rangers get out of this one, join us for Turbo, a Power Rangers movie.
Everybody, and welcome to the season finale for Voices from the Grid Zeo Edition. I'm your host for you this evening, Pink Ranger, Brian Massey.
You're still not over that, are you?
Not really. Yeah. And I am joined by my colleagues, my counterparts, my partners in crime. Let's give it up for, first of all, the Green Ranger for this season, Ben Taylor.
Who is mid-drink.
I should have gauged
Sorry,
that.
I was necking a beer. Yep, what up? It's me, your boy.
Yep. And also joining me is the Blue Ranger for this season, Michael Lindebaum.
Yep.
And last but certainly not least, our eternal Red Ranger, Sasha Kaplan. Give it up.
The one, the only, the ever snarky.
Until someone turns all of our stuff pink.
Yeah, well,
I get my revenge where I can.
Again.
And I'm still living with that. Anyways, so we have survived, suffered through, whatever you want to say, with Zeo. Certainly, Sasha, you and I have stories about watching Tommy sing and croon along with...
I still can hear his singing ringing in my head. It is that painful.
Yeah, but for anybody listening at home, basically what we're going to do is we're going to break down the season and give our thoughts. Mm-hmm. And my first question for everybody in the room, what was this season?
A season.
It happened.
Yeah,
it was a series of televisual events that were sometimes linked and sometimes weren't.
Yeah, and furthermore, did this feel like it was worth the watch?
No.
And before we get to Turbo, does this season feel like it continues the momentum that was built by MMPR to lead to an optimistic future for the franchise, or could this have been a potentially disastrous season that derailed the franchise altogether?
So, not to give out the snarky one-word answers, because that would be far too easy.
Right.
I said in our season intro,
mm-hmm.
spoiler alert, we recorded it last night, that this was the bravest move the franchise had made to date.
Right.
Right? So it had every possibility that was just going to fail.
Yeah.
I can't speak for the majority of people, because, again, I watched it for the first time when I was 41.
Right.
But it had to succeed on some level for there to be a Turbo and an In Space.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, personally, I remember watching it as a kid, and I knew a lot of kids that were upset by the costume change. I was kind of okay with it, actually. Mm-hmm. But as far as this season goes, rewatching it, it's like... Yeah, the rose-tinted glasses are shattered underneath my feet at this point. I was like, oh, God, this is not the greatest.
Do you remember when we were leaving Mighty Morphin Season 3 and we were like, oh, my God, finally, Zeo.
We're so ready. We were so ready for Zeo. We had no idea what we were getting into.
I've got a genuine question for you.
Yeah.
Was Mighty Morphin Season 3 better than Zeo?
Oh, my God. I think I enjoyed it a little better. If I'm being completely honest with you,
it actually gave Adam dialogue, so that counts.
He had more than one focal episode too.
Which
I think there's only one focal episode for Zeo.
Did he even get a focal episode in Zeo?
Well, there's Instruments of Destruction,
right? Oh, and there's the one you and I reviewed, Ben.
Oh, right.
And there's a kind of a mean screen with the first time we meet Raymond.
right. The hero of this season.
He's only in like three or four episodes.
Three episodes.
What were you going to say, Mike?
Well, no, I was going to say that like when we looked at, you know, season three, they were doing all these long form storytelling to get us to places that we need to be, like getting rid of Kim, getting to the point of like introducing the Alien Rangers and then introducing the Zeo crystals and stuff like that. And
giving us a different bad guy temporarily so we can get used to the idea.
So it was like it was literally building for all these major story arcs that we knew were connected. But then, like, when we go into picking the episodes that we want to do and Ben going, I don't want to do anything involving Tommy, but because they didn't structure the season the same way like the previous season.
No, my phrase was, I don't want anything to do with the Tommy Arrowhead arc.
And you end up still getting one episode.
Yes, because somehow someone gave me the title, spoiler alert, it was Mike. The one that was titled, Brother, Can You Spare an Arrowhead?
Yeah, we suffered through that one together, Ben. It's fine.
But in all fairness, I had to suffer through the first three.
Look, that's your problem.
But anyway,
you're not as vocal a detractor of Tommy as I am.
But the thing is, though, is that when you came into this season, they did story arcs
that were all centered around Tommy.
But they're either A, multi-part episodes that were always centered around Tommy, or if they did do a story arc, they did one which was kind of half thrown together, which was Billy when Billy left and then came back. Because that was kind of when they're introducing
Rainbow. It wasn't even really a story arc. It was just Billy left and Billy came back.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, then tell you what. I'm going to go ahead and jump around a little bit.
Jump around.
For my next question, kind of starts off as a statement. This really kind of became the Tommy Show, starring JDF as Tommy Oliver featuring the other Power Rangers, it felt like. Did it not?
This season...
Several seasons ago.
Yeah. But here's the thing, though. But compared to past seasons, this one was the more painfully obvious one.
Sure.
Because... Well, keep in mind, last season, they did a whole story arc on Kim and putting more focus on Kim and Kat than they did on
Tommy. You say that, but JDF was the focus of that storyline. Because Kat was in love with him.
But he was playing more of that support character because you're two main people.
But he was still set in the slap bang in the center of the web. They couldn't put like Billy in the center of the web. No, that would be far too sensible.
So I do have a little more to that question. I definitely wrote this with you in mind. Which Rangers do you think were criminally underwritten this time around? Adam seems to get very little to do here, and Tawny seems to just fill Aisha's shoes without much in the way of a personality change.
I think definitely Adam 100% top of the list.
The fact that there were so many episodes where Adam just, like, didn't have dialogue.
And not only that,
but... And it's very noticeable, mostly because, you know, we are fans of Adam. We've talked a lot about it. And he's just, like...
Greatest Power Ranger of all time.
Right! But, so, it was weird.
But on top of that, Tanya got more than Adam did.
Yep.
But a lot of the stuff with Tanya just
that was kind of out of necessity, though.
But the thing with Tanya, a lot of it just didn't make sense.
Sure,
like how the hell did
Do
she?
Do I need to go into a culture shock rant?
No, we already had that in the premiere. We're good.
Done the culture shock, but like, how the hell did she get a boyfriend so damn fast?
They have boyfriends and girlfriends in Africa.
It's really not that hard.
She's got a boyfriend in episode three.
She's a pretty girl. Right, boys are stupid.
What Mike and I are trying to say is there are other stories you could tell with Tanya first.
Yes.
That's true. Okay.
That's a great
point. Then go straight to the
boyfriend. But it's not like the writers of the show really know what teenagers are like, except...
That's fair.
Right?
But, like, teenagers, they look 20, right?
But let's stick to Tanya for a second. Like, they gave her the boyfriend, like, episode three.
Yeah,
and it kind of plays off a little bit in like maybe like two, three other episodes later down the road. Why couldn't that be its own like little four episode story arc of Tanya? Because this character Sean that was brought in as the boyfriend, he actually was used at one point as a red herring.
Speaking of boyfriends and Tanya,
yeah,
I know you and I talked about this,
right?
But am I the only one that detected that they were trying to hint towards something between her and Adam?
Oh no, I pointed that out. You and I also talked about it on some of the episodes we recorded because it was, yeah.
Here's another like weird theory I had too. Do you think that there was a chance because what was it? Karen Ashley, she kind of dropped a bombshell on them, like really, really, like suddenly, hey, I'm leaving the show. And do you think it could have been that the Zio scripts had been written and they were going to give her a boyfriend in Zio had she stayed on the show, but then they had to do all this other stuff, and by the time that they got to episode 3, they were just like, eh, screw it.
I think you'll find that a lot of Aisha's stories got transferred to Kat.
Sure.
Because there's an episode where Kat trains a dog.
Right.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
And that's perfectly an Aisha story.
But the funny thing for that is that could have easily have gone to Tanya because of where Tanya came from.
Yeah,
in story lore. So, like, why couldn't that be put on Tanya?
Exactly.
Well, because Tanya was very busy playing basketball and training with Adam, and then she was very busy with her boyfriend, and then she was very busy with her singing career.
And playing baseball.
And fashion design stuff she and Kat were doing.
There's nothing she can't do.
Really, though.
The Rangers literally play every freaking sport.
Not every sport.
No, but Tanya specifically.
Yeah, nobody's played badminton. Right.
Yeah. Tanya specifically, actually, over the course of Zio, she legitimately has a baseball career. She's really good at martial arts. She's super good at maths.
Mm.
She's really into computers. She has a possibly a singing career. And that's just the first 10 episodes.
Yep.
Like, yeah.
But to answer your actual question, Rangers, I think, or characters, I think, were criminally underused this season.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say Rocky.
Who?
Yeah.
Yeah. Rocky had really the plant episode. But
he had the Aubrey 2 episode.
He also had that annoying episode after Jason is introduced where he's Balkan Skull sort of egg him on, and he becomes very like upset that like, oh, Jason is back, and Jason was the Red Ranger before me, and he's gonna replace me kind of stuff.
But that's kind of a good thing to have, though, because it brought self-doubt to him.
Was the episode, and you can tell how much I actually care about Zio, because I can't remember his episodes in this season. The episode where he and the blind girl.
Ooh, that was a really good episode.
You say that. It was a nice Rocky episode.
Yeah. I mean, compared to what we had to deal with this season, that was a better written episode.
Fair enough.
I mean, I would heartily disagree from the angle of a disabled person, but carry on.
No, you would. Well, that's why people will go back and listen to our discussion of that. But yeah. I think compared to some of the episodes that that's we got, true. It was still better. But you and I dissected that episode really well.
There was another Adam-centric episode that we all forgot about. It came from Angel Grove.
I didn't forget about it. You just didn't let me say anything.
It's absolutely probably one of the top two episodes.
Yeah.
In fact, going back thinking about it, my top two episodes of the season are both Adam-centric episodes.
Shocker!
Instrument of Destruction. Of the
century. Huh?
Instrument of Destruction.
Instrument of Destruction, and it came from Angel Grove.
Yeah.
And it's not because Adam's the focus character, it's because of everything that's happening around him.
Now that we're on that topic, one of my favorite episodes is the season was the introduction of Gasket and Archerina. Did we mention their names are Gasket and Archerina?
So playing off of that, my next question is, it revolves around the Machine Empire. So my main question is, who would you have rather seen as the vocal main villains for Zio? King Mondo and Queen Machina, or Prince Gasket and Archerina? Also, overall thoughts on Prince Pocket as a villain. Ben?
My pick for the villain of Zio should be Zordon.
You're going to elaborate on that for the listeners?
Do I need to?
Nope.
Wait, I'm sorry. Was Zordon in this season?
Exactly.
He kind of was in this season.
It's weird, right?
What? Did he do anything is the question.
It's a strange question, right? Because you're asking us to compare someone who's there for 90% of the season to someone who's there for a few episodes.
Sure.
No. Add one more in there. Need to ask. Louis Kaboom.
Oh, God.
No, we don't.
That dude was so annoying.
So annoying.
Anyway.
And I was stuck doing the entire saga with him. Thank you very much.
I did some of these episodes with you.
You and Mike both.
I did the intro and the outro of Peek-a-Boom with you.
And I did the meat. I did the meat yeah. and the sandwich of that.
So here's what I'm going to say. Ultimately, King Mondo is a stupid villain.
Yes.
He's useless. He resorts to the same shtick that Rita and Zed did. The only person that had any actual interesting plans were Gasket and Archerina, except for like maybe one episode with the
Can I give you a play devil's advocate for
sure.
Me? Do you not think had Archerina and Gasket been around for longer, they too would have resorted to Monster of the Week?
I don't know, possibly. Because their arc sort of doesn't really go anywhere, and then as soon as King Mondo comes by, they're like, oh, we're out now. I think ultimately it's possible, because considering the writing of the show, it's very possible. Yeah. But I think the problem is that Mondo resorted too quickly to that shtick.
Right.
It was like the next episode, right? But all of Gasket and Archerina's plans, very rarely, if, as far as I remember, I've already started the part where I block the bad stuff out of my peripheral and try to forget about it. So as far as I remember, their plans very rarely, if ever, focused on whatever shtick the Rangers had going on that week. Maybe once, right? But they had legitimate plans that involved like having a full-scale invasion. Or kidnapping and brainwashing Tommy. That was actually kind of a cool idea. Kidnapping him first.
Because Rita and Zed had never done that.
I'm not saying it was an original idea. But I'm saying that...
Sometimes you gotta just bust out the classics, right?
Sometimes you have to bust out the classics, right? But they had a little bit more forethought into their plans instead of just, oh, the Rangers are having a bad day and they're talking about pizza. I'm gonna make a pizza monster kind of a thing.
Foreshadowing.
Yes, I did that on purpose.
Yeah.
Best episode in the Zordon era. Fight me.
A high bar.
Yeah, it's true. I genuinely believe had Gasket and Archerina stuck around, then they would have just been Mondo and Machina light. Like,
sure.
So it's like asking me to pick between apples and oranges. They're both fruit. You know what I mean?
Fair enough.
As for my thoughts on Prince Sprocket as a villain.
It's an annoying little, I can't say the S.
Just annoying.
Yeah.
And not in a good way.
Like, he has...
Wait, how can you be annoying in a good way?
Well, because you can... The point is, you can have a character that's written to be annoying, that is annoying and makes you want to hate him, but you love to hate him.
So, Rito, basically.
Yeah. So, Rito Repulso is a perfect example. Or Bulk and Skull in the first season.
Yeah.
Right? Sprocket is just annoying.
I mean, on occasion, like Sprocket does come up with some good ideas here or there, but his ideas kind of get shanghaied by Mondo or Gasket. Yeah.
Or 90% of the time, he'll steal, like, Clank's plan.
Yep.
And say it was his plan.
Yeah. We see that right in, like, the beginning of Zio right away. It's even in the opening.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like, he's definitely the archetype. Like I knew kids in, like, the second and third grade that were like him that I just did not like him.
He was a much worse version of Finster. Let's put it that way.
No, he wasn't.
Well, No.
He was a worse version of Squat and Babu.
Yes.
There it is.
I always kind of considered Clank and Orbis as the Squat and Babu. Mm.
No, there's... I think it's wants you to
they
make...
They are Finster. Mm.
Sprocket is
that kid... When there's a gang of bullies.
Yeah.
Sprocket is that one kid that stands back and goes, yeah, tell him, boss. That's Sprocket.
Oh, my God.
That is Sprocket.
He's the kid with the hat from A Christmas Story.
Yeah.
That's totally him.
Yep.
There's a disturbing thought.
Did I miss something, by the way? Like, because I know that the Machine Empire, they can make a soldier, like, one an hour.
Yep.
Did I miss where they were making the Monsters of the Week, by the way? Or, like, were they just showing
off
up?
Off screen.
Yeah, like, it just...
There's a very simple explanation.
Yeah. Well, I think certain ones, like Leaky Faucet, I think, was one of the few that was done on screen.
Yeah, because they took a costume from the one where Rocky was like, if they just saw how good of an actor I was. Oh, God, I hated that episode. Anyways.
But it was a Rocky episode.
It was a Rocky episode.
It was very Rocky.
Yes. In more ways than one. So
Thank you, Brian. That was the joke.
Yes. So my next question is... So, much like in season 2 of Mighty Morphin, when tons of people were teased as the potential White Ranger, we have a lot of people who are teased to be the new Gold Ranger this season. Tommy's brother, David Trueheart, Ab and Tanya's friend, Raymond, Skull, and the person that should have been the new Gold Ranger, Billy.
Disagree!
What are your thoughts on these potential candidates?
And don't forget, Sean... The boyfriend of Tanya.
I didn't count him.
He kind of was in that kind of red herring field for a little
bit. Honestly,
the person who should have been the Gold Ranger is totally Raymond.
Yeah,
but like
I would have accepted that as well.
White Ranger should have been Skull. Gold Ranger should have been Raymond.
Yep.
Honestly, I don't remember any of these characters.
That's because you didn't do any of those episodes. I did all of them. I did the entire Gold Ranger saga.
Except for the reveal of who actually is the Gold Ranger, because Mike and I reviewed that one.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
The Jason reveal?
Nope.
I reviewed that.
The reveal of Trey of Triforia, I did it.
No.
Because it happens on Aquator.
Yes. What I mean is the who takes over. The Jason reveal was me. And
Let's be honest. There are technically two Gold Ranger arcs. One, who is the Gold Ranger, and then two,
who will be the new Gold Ranger.
Who will become the new Gold Ranger.
And it should have been Raymond.
Fair enough.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Any other thoughts on that?
Shouldn't have been Jason. He should have stayed away from my Power Rangers.
Well,
his peace conferences, plural. I cannot get over that.
So my next question is thoughts on the Trey of Triforia gimmick and the actual successor of the powers returning Ranger Jason Scott then? Well, I think we just got our answer from
Ben. I'm going to ignore the Jason Scott thing because we technically covered that. But the Trey of Triforia, I actually like the idea of the whole, like the backstory idea of like the three divisions and stuff like that. Like, that was kind of cool, and then, like, the fact that it caused him, because of the beating that he took, it caused him to split into three. And the fact that it was actually legitimately played by triplets.
Yeah.
That is actually very
cool. That was actually kind of cool, and the fact that they were able to work around that, I actually thought that was kind of nice.
Yeah.
I will say, I felt that it was a lot of build-up for not the greatest payoff. Because we had all of these red herrings, right? And Billy kept disappearing and whatnot. And then all of a sudden, and the Gold Ranger is nobody we'd ever met. Like, if they had at least, like, maybe planted him even in the background of something, then we could have been like, oh, that was the dude that was, like, looking at the Rangers in the park or something.
Well, the other bigger problem is that, like, in the case of, like, Billy, you know, one of the stories is that Billy, along with Alpha and Zordon, built the Zeozords. And yet somehow it magically works with Pyramidus. Like, how did Trey of Triforia know that?
So...
There's a very simple explanation.
We're hitting on a lot of things I covered in the episode surrounding the Gold Ranger.
Right.
But Sasha hit on what is probably the most important thing to discuss here. Especially for a bunch of adults that are taking a kid's show way too seriously. Right? As a kid, you don't care that they didn't see the mystery properly. Right? But as an adult, if you are going to set up a mystery and gradually drop clues, those clues have to help you solve the mystery.
Right.
Right? Instead, what they did was, we're going to set up this mystery, we're going to drop a bunch of clues, and then the person who done it is a character you've never met before. And you're like, I hate you.
For the record, this is how not to write a murder mystery. Yes.
Correct. On top of that, the biggest crime that the whole arc committed is it was 8 episodes of the Earthbound Power Rangers trying to figure out who the Gold Ranger was. And the eventual reveal of who the Gold Ranger was happened to the Equation Rangers on Aquitar.
Yep.
And the Rangers found out on a viewing globe.
Yeah.
And that felt really cheap and awful.
I'll give you that one, yeah.
Like, you actually actively see the Rangers doing sleuthing. Like, they're using the computers, trying to work things out, track Pyramidus and all of that. And it ends up that he just crash lands on on Aquitar, and he's like, oh, I'm me.
It's literally like the greatest game of Where's Waldo or Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego, and then it's just...
And then the ending is you think you're hunting for Carmen Sandiego, and then it turns out it's not even Carmen Sandiego. It's somebody else who is using a red...
You're playing Hollywood Squares.
Yeah, there you go.
You fool!
X gets the square.
So my next question then... I had a question here. I think I'm going to skip it just because you brought it up.
No. Ask it.
Okay. Thoughts on the Zords and the BS Ultra Zord combination this season?
There were Zords this season?
Yeah, there were multiple. One of them was a wheel.
I love the wheel. Let's invent the wheel.
No, it's my best friend wheel. Woo!
Nope.
Billy was so bored this season that he reinvented the wheel literally.
The answer is no.
Oh my god.
Look, I felt like we never really, like, I like animal-based Zords more than anything else.
Yeah.
Because, you know,
you're going to be disappointed next season.
I already, yes, I know it's Cars. It's not like I haven't watched this before. But Cars are fine to me, even though the wheel, however, was completely stupid. But I didn't feel like we really got any connection to the Zords in any way.
Yeah.
And not to say that we need an emotional connection to a hunk of metal that we used to pilot, you know. But it definitely, like, I don't know, I just didn't care for the Zords. I just didn't care at all.
That's fine. I thought they were shiny, at least. And
I love how they give Tommy the one Zord, the battle Zord, where it has to sync up with his mind.
Yeah.
And he has to pilot it. But then later on that they're able to just... Billy just kind of goes, yeah, we're just going to rework it a little bit so Adam can use it.
Well, that was an emergency situation, though. And
but it was nice, though, that they...
I mean, he didn't think that... He didn't know if it was actually going to work or not.
And it only worked temporarily because it was supposed to sync up to Tommy's mind. But I guess the question is, why have a Zord that only syncs up to one Ranger in the first place?
I mean, because Tommy...
Because
that's right, I forgot.
Because
this is Tommy's
the best
show.
Power Ranger of all time, guys.
Because this is the Tommy show featuring the Power Rangers.
Yep.
I actually cannot wait until we get to Turbo and he's like barely in it.
To answer your question, however, one of the things that the previous seasons of Power Rangers did very well was giving context to the Zords.
Right.
Every set of Zords we got, there was some form of context to them. Be it the Shogun Zords being ancient Zords, be it the Thunder Zords, being it the Ninja Zords, or the original Zords themselves.
Yeah, the Dinozords.
Zio, we just get to the end of Zio Beginning, and Tommy's like, well, we don't have any Zords, so... If something gets big, we're boned. And Billy's like, we're working on something. And then they just have Zords.
Like the next episode.
And that kind of blows my mind now that I really think about it. It's like, because every other subsequent Power Ranger team has Zords, or at the very least, they can go on like a quest to find them. But Zio seems to be the only team, as far as I know, where they have the powers. They don't have any Zords yet. And it's like, why? That makes no sense.
If I may.
Sure.
Please.
I don't think the Zio Crystal was intended to be a power source for Power Rangers. I think Zordon's improvising.
I can buy that.
And one of the other things that's really interesting is not only are we given context to the previous Zords, we're given reasons that certain Zords are given to certain people.
Right.
And why they're needed in the first place.
Right. Whereas they're just assigned these random Zords.
Yeah.
Like, why do Tanya and Kat have Zords that look like, that are just tanks that need to be pulled by someone else? Why does Rocky get to drive a Sphinx? Yeah. Why is Tommy flying a bird again?
Yeah.
They're very... Because
the showrunners want to give us the bird with Tommy.
But that goes back back to the other point, right? That there's sort of there's no connection, right? But there's no central theme in the same way that, like, either do cars or do animals, right?
Right.
You shouldn't do both. Like, Lightspeed Rescue, it makes no sense for them to have animal vehicles because it's a military setup, right? Same thing with Time Force, right? We know why they have the Zords the way that they are. Same thing within space. Even Turbo had cars and it stuck to the car theme for better or worse. But here, and I think there's a season later on that also does this, I think it's Ninja Steel, where there's just no, everything is sort of random.
That one, I'm not going to get into it, but that one does make sense in context if you do a little research. But, the biggest problem, I think, was because Zeo was one thing and O-Ranger was another, and, like, the source material Sentai has some really weird things going on. Like, they're not tanks that Kat and Tanya have. They're, like, Easter Island heads in the O-Rangers. And so, like, I don't know how well that translates here, but...
It doesn't.
Okay, cool.
Some things from the Sentai translate well, some things just don't. It's always a 50-50.
From the Sentai that translates well.
You got me.
The utilization of the dinosaurs.
Are we talking about...
O-Ranger?
No. Zoo Ranger.
I'm talking about this one. Season.
Okay, I cannot speak on this season because I have yet to see this season in the Sentai. I can't speak on that.
There's very little that really translates here from O-Ranger.
Like, Brian was talked about it when we did the season the opener. Like, O-Ranger as a series is kind of dark. Yeah. Zeo is not.
Well, the Sentai
We're not
in general,
allowed to do too dark in Power Rangers.
Well, keep in mind, the Sentai has always been, from Zoo Ranger up to a certain point... Sentai was pretty dark in general. Like, if you watch Zoo Ranger, which is what the first season of Mighty Morphin's based off of, that is a dark show. Although it did have that light moment when the putties rang the doorbell, then came in and stormed the house. That was one of the few silly moments. But, like, it was a dark show.
Yeah, and again, like, the way that I have a rule that I keep with Power Rangers when I'm trying to think about how translation works, and this is totally, I'm going to get back on track here, but, like, for me, with Power Rangers compared to Super Sentai, I have a rule that I pull from George of the Jungle, which is that nobody dies, they just get really big boo-boos. You know? That's just the way it works for me. So,
Are we talking Brendan Fraser?
Yes.
Okay, good. Yes. As long as we're talking about the good one. We're
okay. Yes. Okay, so my next question is, so we have a few new allies this season. Auric the Conqueror, Trey of Tephoria, to name a few. But we also get a returning ally, Ancestra, the blue Aquitian Ranger from Aquitar, who whisks Billy away for a while. Should this have been the way that Billy gets written off compared to the way he actually gets written off?
I would say Graduation Blues probably would have been a better way of writing off Billy.
Yeah.
Because especially the fact that it kind of left it with a little bit of a cliffhanger because the Rangers were actually disappointed that they weren't able to say goodbye.
Right.
And I think that probably would have been a little bit of a better send-off for Billy than what we ended up getting.
Yeah. Because we got, like, old man Billy.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's not like Billy's departure was actually planned. Wasn't the story that, for reasons that we've already talked about, David Yost just walked off the set one day and didn't come back?
Well, I think so.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, he was being abused for being gay.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like... There's only so much, you know, harassment and abuse that you can take.
Oh, no, 100%. No, he was totally in the right on that. What I'm saying is that the writer sort of had to cobble
nonsense together,
and that's why we have the crappy ending that we did.
I honestly think when they did Graduation Blues, I think that was probably the original walk-off by David Yost. Because he is legitimately gone for like four episodes.
What I kind of would like about that too is because Billy says, hey, I'm going to be here as a mentor and I'm going to, you know, he's helping out Zordon with like the Zords and all that and helping. And then all of a sudden, like what happens when suddenly he's gone? When your brain is suddenly gone? Like what happens then? They have to do so much improvising. And sure, a lot of that's going to fall back on Zordon and Alpha 5 at that point. But at the same time, like, the culture shock of that, like, just having... Well, not culture shock, but just the shock of it, having Billy just gone all of a sudden, and...
Yeah,
oh,
but
man.
It doesn't ultimately affect the Rangers. They just sort of get over it 2 seconds later. But to go back to your earlier question, because you were asking about the new allies that were introduced.
Yes.
I asked this question when the character was introduced, and I'm still confused. Why is he called the Conqueror?
He should have, yeah.
He doesn't conquer. He's a nice guy.
He conquers villainy.
I guess.
Like, what was another name that we came up for instead of Conqueror? He could have been...
Oryk the Great.
Oryk the Tickler.
Oryk the Defender. Oryk the Amazing. Oryk the Fearless, right?
Oryk the Splendid, or...
Oryk the I Want to Be Ninjor.
Yeah.
Oryk the Easily Fooled.
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
That's actually probably the best one of them all, because he was easily fooled.
Right, but... I don't know. I felt like a lot of this season, there was just a little too much going on.
Yeah.
Right? You have Oryk the Conqueror. You have Trey of Triforia. You have the Equetians. You have Rita and Lord Zedd. You have Rito and Goldar. You have the Machine Empire. You have Billy's arc. I was just... There's a lot. This is a lot, especially for a show that is like 20 minutes long each episode, you know?
And honestly, like, that might be why I was kind of, like, even as a kid, I was just like, my initial watch through, I was like, wait, what just happened? Like, because I remember certain things visually, but, like, it took me a while to go, oh, yeah, that's right, that's what happened in this episode. Because, like, it was just, like, it's a blur, and, like, you blink and it's gone. Like, characters like Raymond are there 1 minute, and they're gone the next. You know, Tommy's brother is there for like 3 or 4 episodes. We get so many people that just like,
let's put it in perspective. JDF's real life brother got more episodes than Raymond.
Oh.
What a surprise. Nepotism in action.
Yeah.
Yeah. God. I got 2 more questions and then I'll open it up to discussion for everybody. If you want to do that. Sounds like we kind of don't. But.
I mean. Because we got. You're not wrong.
We got steak waiting for us, so.
Steak?
But, yeah,
steak.
Mmm, steak. I want mine medium rare.
All right, Ninjor, get to your question.
So, okay. Sorry. I had.
I know.
You mentioned him. I had to do something. This finale, for a lack of a better word, sucked. We were being led to the Turbo movie directly after this, but seeing Jason walk off with his new girlfriend and Tommy with Kat just seemed...
And then the very next time you see him, he's hanging out with Kim.
Yeah, it just seemed like how not to end a season, question mark?
Well, yeah, but also it... The Machine... The Rangers ultimately actually... Like, for all of the praise that Mighty Morphin gets, right? And all of the nostalgia BS and all of the, like, they're the greatest Rangers of all time.
Here we go.
They've never actually defeated a villain, right? Like they never defeated Rita and Lord Zedd. They don't defeat the Machine Empire.
Nope.
They don't defeat...
Well, that's not Eva them. Tops. That's a different but set of characters.
Well, I'm just talking about the Zordon era in general.
Right.
The Rangers in the Zordon era don't get a strike in the W column until in space.
Yep. And it's not to say they haven't had wins, right? They've defeated other villains that have been brought in by Rita to do other things, but they've never unalived any of them.
Yeah.
You know? And so... this season didn't have a finale, and then what they could have done, and then ultimately they don't even defeat the Machine Empire. Rita and Zedd do that for them.
As they're driving off in their Winnebago.
And they say...
It's a Winnebago.
I mean, Winnebagos are pretty destructive.
I love how Lord Zedd's
like... As long
like,
as you got a good Schwartz, you'll be fine.
I was literally gonna say, someone find me Longstar.
Yeah.
Just, you know, try not to go plaid.
I'm my own best friend. I love how Lord Zedd said, "We're back," and then, like...
Totally, you never see him again.
You don't see him until in space.
Yeah. Similarly, doesn't at the end of the Zeo beginning that he says something like, "Oh, I'll be back, we'll be back," or "I'll be back," and I'm like, uh-huh, sure.
I'll believe it when I see it, Crowface.
I know you see Rita for a little while in the Turbo premiere.
She's in the movie.
Because Diva Tox calls her.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I think it's because they're supposed to be... I think in the show they're sisters or something?
No.
The implication is her and Demetria are sisters.
Oh, yeah.
We're already talking about Turbo.
But it does... But that being said, though, that scene with that we'll get to when we suffer through the Turbo movie, it does set up the idea that there, it continues the idea of the United Alliance of Evil, right? Yeah. That all of these bad guys know each other, they communicate with each other, and there's sort of a bigger picture of evil going on.
They're in a Facebook group chat together.
They got a WhatsApp group.
Yeah.
Guys, they're on MySpace together.
Yeah, probably. They are evil.
Rita, why am I not in your top eight?
God. Thank you, Goldar.
My final question. What did you actually like about this season?
Instrument of Destruction.
Adam!
Ended!
No.
Well, it didn't end, but...
Well, no, no. In a serious sense, it's like, here's where all going to say, oh, because it's the season's over.
Yeah.
Instrument of Destruction, hands down, because it's one of the episodes, like, because we haven't really talked about it on this episode, but we've talked about it a lot in other episodes. This season, Bulk and Skull regressed a lot.
Yep.
But this one particular episode was really good, not just for Skull, because it was a Skull-centric kind of episode, but for Bulk as well, because, you know, because it's also an Adam episode at the same time. But, like, it just made Skull a much better character after having to be regressed throughout most of the season and then have this high moment. And, you know, and it seems like Skull has that high moment at least one episode a season that he gets that. So, but yeah, Instrument of Destruction is probably one of the better highlights of the season, in my opinion.
Sure.
They give a serious answer. And then they give the honest answer that the season's over.
To give a more... a less sarcastic answer other than the season is over. There are some things to like in this season. And one of the things that there is to like in this season is there's more shades of the show not taking itself seriously,
mm-hmm.
which is when the pre-in-space Power Rangers are at their best. When the show isn't taking itself too seriously is when, like, Turbo and before is at its best.
Sure, I agree with that.
And they weren't afraid to lean into it with, like, it came from Angel Grove and... while it may not have been the most lovely thing to listen to, the musical episode. Like, there were just...
Nope.
Like I said, it doesn't necessarily mean they sang it well, but the fact that they were willing to go and do that.
Nope.
You don't think that's a good thing?
Nope. I mean, that episode was completely 100,000% not necessary.
But Ben's point...
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that the episode was necessary. I'm saying that the writers were willing to look at themselves and go, let's do something stupid.
Let's have some fun with it.
I mean,
Let's have some fun.
And in honesty, that's not a
In honesty, you kind of saw it near the end of season three, like the one monster that made the Rangers dance. Like, yeah. You kind of saw it a little bit starting to come a little bit, but this one took it to that next level.
So why do you not think that's a good thing?
I like balance in my storytelling a little bit more.
Right, and, but you can't have a balance if you're taking yourself seriously all the time.
I understand that, but I think that there is sort of going too far in the other direction. And
right,
so,
and again, I'm not saying that the musical episode was the way to do it.
Right.
What I'm saying is the writers were able to hold a mirror up to themselves and go... we may have taken ourselves a bit too seriously previously. I mean, I'm looking at you, Mighty Morphin Season 2.
Yeah.
But they did things that were fun in a way that weren't just, this monster makes the Rangers dance, or this monster turns the Rangers into footballs, or...
Okay, the one thing I will say is I did like sort of the silliness of the purse monster.
Yeah.
See that? Okay. So maybe for me, I had the gripe with the musical episode specifically then.
Sure.
But I can appreciate some of the monster silliness more than I think
It came from Angel Grove.
I don't know if I consider that silly, but it's definitely different. And I don't know if it's
absolutely silly. It's a bunch of Rangers acting in monster movies.
Like, right, but it's all a dream sequence.
Yes, but it's still silly.
fine. Then I guess maybe I wouldn't use the word silly to describe it, but I see what you're saying.
Like, I can absolutely see, like, you know, maybe you're having a bad day. Because, like, I remember, you know, you'd come home from school and you'd turn on the TV and, like, you know, if you watch too many episodes in a row that are, like, super serious and, like, they're taking themselves too seriously, sometimes you just need a laugh. Sometimes you just need something that's, you know, oh, wow, I needed 20 minutes to, like, look at something that was kind of silly. And maybe that's what they were thinking.
Maybe, because, but I think it's also difficult because we don't watch it that way now. So sure. Our perceptions and impressions are going to be a little bit different. But I get your, yeah.
When it was being made like that back in the 90s, like, yeah. That could have
something
been...
also to keep in mind is that, like, and I know this because, like, when I was going through boxes cleaning out stuff, like, I found the old TV guides that actually had Power Rangers on the cover.
Right.
And
your
one of the...
Your parents kept those?
My mom actually collected TV guides. Wow. But, and she gave me some that I knew I would keep, like TMNT and Power Rangers. But
I have some
but anyway, but anyways...
We don't get that till in space, dude.
But anyways, the thing is, though, is that, like, one of the biggest things that was always talked about in every single TV guide was the parents. Was never about the kids' entertainment. It was always about the parents always having concern about the violence and stuff like that. And
maybe, I remember that. I absolutely remember that.
And this probably was the first season where they actually kind of wanted to do more of that silliness of, like, the singing and the dancing and the
other stuff. When it's playing in the living room, your parents don't come in and go, oh my God.
Like, yeah, exactly. Killing everybody. Like, you're still going to have the Zord battles and stuff like that. And it's probably one of the reasons why we didn't see that many Unmorph fights.
Yeah.
Well, I think that was the result of the Sentai footage.
That probably was also a result of the Sentai footage, but I wouldn't put it past the idea of the fact of the parents and stuff like that as well.
Again, yeah, so we, like, without being back then, we won't know.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Like I said, it especially going into a season like Turbo, being able to show your audience that Power Rangers doesn't have to be serious 24/7 is a very good thing to prepare people for. Well, Diva Talks is about to happen.
But at the same time, a lot of people constantly talk about Mighty Morphin's, like, ridiculousness and its silliness. So maybe there is space for it to be take itself a little bit more seriously.
Right, but what they're looking at is they're not looking at...
No, I understand what they're looking at. I'm just saying what I'm looking at.
Right, but you're saying people say, right? So I'm talking about those people at this point. They're looking at Mighty Morphin saying it's silly because it hasn't aged well.
Fair.
Because a lot of what makes the monsters effective for the kids doesn't make them effective for adults. That doesn't make the storyline silly. That doesn't make the plot silly. It makes the monsters doing things silly. Right? Like turning them into footballs or turning them into chemicals or making them dance. Or whereas something like It Came From Angel Grove or this musical episode, it's more the unmorphed Rangers getting silly than the morphed Rangers getting silly.
Yeah. Because at that point...
But we've beaten this story to death.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, did anybody else want to talk about anything else? Did they have any other thoughts about Zio?
Balkan Skull.
Well, Mike sort of started the ball rolling when he said earlier that, like, every episode, they regressed. We saw them in doing, like, you know, we ranted in the premiere and the opening about this whole concept of them taking Goldar and Rito as their slaves.
Yeah.
Right? But there are moments where they do shine, right? Like, when at the end they take their detective's exam. In the middle of a monster fight, and they're like, oh, this is part of the test. I'm like, yes, because the detective exam people care and are going to set this up just for you guys. But it showed, you know, some good, like, working under pressure and all that jazz, so they were able to pass their detective exam. Yeah. And they genuinely cared about helping people.
Yes.
And that part still carried around. They didn't really care about, you know, monsters, which is fair, because I don't give two fudges about about Rito and Goldar either. But so there is a little bit of a regression, but at the core, their evolution is like
But like it's not said, just it's a regression arc. Of Bulk and Skull themselves.
Right.
It's a regression of Bulk and Skull and their relationship to everyone in Angel Grove. Because we get, like, we end season three with the Rangers at their graduation ceremony actively saying, we're proud of Bulk and Skull. Yep. You get to a Zeo beginning and beyond, and they're back to just antagonizing Bulk and Skull again.
With at least one exception.
Well, the early season, in the early part of the season.
Yeah.
And then it sort of changes in the middle of the season and then goes back at the end.
Yep.
Yeah. This was the season, by the way, I believe, where the season of finale, they get kind of escorted out by a Peter Sellers wannabe Pink Panther.
Yeah.
Inspector Clouseau type, and... You know, it's like, would you like to go to France or whatever and, like, be part of our agency? And I believe that was supposed to be for a backdoor pilot.
A Bulk and Skull spinoff, yeah.
And apparently everybody at Fox was like, this is not
good. Well, they made a pilot.
And the pilot did.
But the pilot was a straight-to-video clip show.
Mm.
And if that had done well, they were going to commission a Bulk and Skull series. But it was a straight-to-video clip show. And the clips were all of not Bulk and Skull, and they were stuck in a cave the whole time.
Yeah, I never owned that, probably for good
reason. Well, no. So the tape that was made, the straight-to-tape, was sent strictly to the studio execs. It wasn't something that wasn't put out publicly.
So they didn't test it then for an audience.
Yeah, they also didn't sort of think through. Yeah, they didn't try, right? It was sort of
I think Saban didn't want to try. To be honest, I think it was something where the studio execs were like, we really like the characters of Bulk and Skull. We like Paul and Jason, you know, the actors, you know, let's see what they can do. And I think Saban was given it to do that. And he didn't want to try because he didn't want to make a focus on those two guys.
He didn't want to take Bulk and Skull away from. It's one of the reasons you don't see Bulk and Skull interact with the Rangers that much in the last half of the season of Zeo.
Yeah.
It's because they wanted to get you used to the fact that Bulk and Skull wouldn't be around the Rangers.
Which...
When they move to the spinoff.
Yeah.
And then they come back and get turned into monkeys. But that's next season.
Yep.
So, yeah. I think I'm kind of done with the season. How about y'all?
Yep. I was done with the season when Louis Kaboom showed up.
Yeah.
I was done with this season about four episodes in.
Yeah, really, though.
Really?
I was done with this season when Tanya became a Ranger.
So, let's be fair. So technically episode two, officially. Yes.
All right, well then, let's go ahead and start wrapping it up then. So, let's see. Sasha. Where can we find you on the World Wide Web?
Crying in a corner. No.
Hey, that's my line.
No, actually, it's mine.
Nope.
She stole your spot, man.
You can find me over on Twitter at Geeky Kaplan. That is Kaplan with a K after the greatest superhero in the Marvel Universe, Billy Kaplan. Fight me. You can also find this show on Twitter as well, which is VFTG_PR. And you can also find me on Tumblr. I'm the only one of the Voices from the Gridcast on Tumblr, and that is geekgirl101.tumblr.com. I am usually complaining about the lack of Jewish representation.
All right, Mike, where can we find you, sir?
You can find me on Twitter at @thelindenbaum75, Facebook at facebook.com/x75productions, Twitch doing the gaming thing at the twitch.tv/themichaelx75. Technically, X75 Productions does have an active Tumblr. It's x75-productions.
It's just an automatic one that just posts things without any commentary, nobody so don't bother.
Cares. Yeah. Nobody cares. And then nobody cares. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. Nobody cares.
I mean, it is Tumblr after all.
Exactly.
Yeah. But then, and then obviously everything's over at txhthockey.com, and then go to x75 productions on the site for all the stuff.
All right. As for myself, you can find me on TikTok at @BlueRanger_BRI. You can find me at on Twitter at @OneDrunkGeek. You can also find me at CastwayStudios.com, friends of the studio for many, many years. Check out Boldly Going Nowhere and One Drunk Geek and all kinds of fun stuff that we've got planned for the future. And Ben, I left you for last, sir. Where can we find you?
Just don't find me. Just leave me alone. No, I'm kidding. You can find me on Twitter at
Bob T. Goldfish.
You can find me doing the video game thing at
twitch.tv/321_TV.
And you can find the sister show to Voices from the Grid, Awesome Mania, the pay-per-view watch-along podcast for wrestling in the 90s, over at
txhdhockey.com/x95production/awesomemania.
All right, and with that, then...
Oh, wait. No. And then you can follow the show.
Oh, yeah.
At VFTT_PR on Twitter, and...
on the website at txhdhockey.com/VFTG.
And...
Huh? What?
Sasha got caught looking at her phone.
Spotify and Google Podcasts.
We are also on Spotify and Apple. Google Podcasts.
Apple does not like to cooperate.
It's only been the whole season that we've been on Google Podcasts.
Yeah. I always get those confused. I'm sorry. I don't actually, ironically enough, I don't listen to podcasts.
I'm only on them.
Yep.
Pretty much.
Alright.
So, it has been a long, strange journey. And we will see you in our very next episode when myself, Michael, Brian, and Sasha shift into Turbo. And we will leave you this time by saying, guys, gals, and non-binary pals, the words of the 16th President of the United States, Abraham Lincoln, be excellent to each other. A party on, non-gender-specific honorifics.
And until our next more phenomenal episode, be sure to grab your Zionizers and your Zeo crystals.
And may the power protect you.
Shift into Turbo!